You guys are not going to believe this. This is your Day X World War III update. What does Hurricane Milton have to do with World War III starting in the Middle East? Well, this hurricane and its relationship to the events unfolding between Israel and Iran is nothing short of uncanny. This is something that I did not expect and nobody could have expected. What you're seeing here is a projection of the hurricane's pathway as it gains in intensity. Right now it's a Category 5. I believe it's still a Category 5. The intensity has somewhat lessened in the past 30 minutes, but it's expected to make a direct hit. The eye of the storm is going to go right over Tampa. Well, what else is in Tampa? The home of U.S. Central Command. U.S. CENTCOM is what oversees all American and, let's face it, Israeli military operations in the Middle East. All of the support ships, the refueling vessels, the amphibious ready groups, the naval assets in the region, the missile defense, you know, just everything, okay, is all controlled here. We are expecting 10 to 15 foot storm surges, okay? So a 10 to 15 foot storm surge, dead center, right around Central Command headquarters, is going to see that this facility, which is right here, you can see it. I don't see any big dams or levees. I mean, this runway, it's basically touching the ocean. This is a 3D view. It does not look, maybe it's like, 20 feet or something. Like, we're in a 3D view right now. I presume these trees are maybe 30, 40 feet high. Yeah, this is at sea level, basically, which is the dumbest possible thing you could do is build this facility there. I'm sure it's there because it's the closest to the Middle East as far as the coral flies, but it's a really dumb decision because now it's about to be destroyed. It's about to be destroyed by this hurricane. Never mind just the flooding, but we're talking about the fact that this facility, I'm not sure if it has its own independent power source. I presume it's hooked up to the Miami grid, the Florida grid. Pardon my voice, guys. My kids keep bringing home illnesses from school, and I keep boosting my immunity in that respect. So getting ready for the next wave, the pestilence wave of SHTF that comes. But this is insane. So this whole facility is likely going underwater. They got, you know, military storage facilities, ammunition depots, bunkers, which I presume are going to be flooded out. All of this is going to be underwater, possibly. It's all going to be underwater. And that's going to put a big damper in their World War III plans. I mean, talk about a coincidence. I mean, this is not only an anomaly in terms of hurricanes that move in that direction. I believe this is only the second or third one of such an intensity. It's one of the fifth biggest storms. And it's literally going to be a dead hit right on U.S. Central Command in and around circa October 7th. Now, if you're a Muslim, if you're a Shiite Muslim, you're thinking to yourself right now, holy shit. Maybe this Allah guy is real, and he just did us a solid because, yeah, U.S. CENTCOM, it's about to be wiped out. Now, I'm sure they have some contingency plans, but what's likely going to happen is this place, if whatever remains of it, I presume they're going to be obligated to use it for search and rescue operations. It is going to be in the center point of all the chaos that's about to unfold there. And the eye of the storm is going to go right over this. I mean, that is, like, what a coincidence. Now, I know there's going to be some people who think the government's steering these things. Look, I'm not giving any airplay to that tinfoil hat nuttery at this point in time. The reason why these things are happening is simple. The record surface sea temperature is off the charts. That is why this went from a tropical storm to a Cat 5. If there was a Cat 6, it would be a Cat 6, but there isn't. in 24 hours, okay? We are talking about record sea surface temperatures. Right now, October 6th, the hottest the ocean has ever been, that part of the ocean has ever been at this period of time. So it really is the perfect storm. Here is the sea surface temperature for just in general, okay? Sea surface temperature anomaly, 5 degrees above centigrade, absolutely unreal. That's where we are right now, okay? So, you know, the shit's going to hit the fan, and I don't know how that's going to factor in to the Iranian situation, because it is definitely going to put a damper in the plans of the Middle East, Israel and the United States, who are just about to get ready to start this big war with Iran. Now, in terms of that situation, this map that I'm showing you here is a map of the multi-layered air defense of Iran. Now, everyone's presuming that they're going to do an air attack, which is what Israel excels at. But as we've learned recently, they also excel at kinetic cyber attacks. Even though a lot of Iran's systems are air-gapped, and I'm going to have to presume that they have much tighter security than Hezbollah. But, I mean, if they're an offshoot of, if Hezbollah was an offshoot of the IRGC, or if they were largely informed and structured in around the IRGC, then perhaps that incompetence extends into Iran as well. The Israelis are saying that they're going to do something never before done. In fact, both sides are saying that they're going to use new technology that's never been used before in order to stage this attack. So I think while everybody is looking at the skies, it's very likely that Israel is going to do something that nobody expects. For all we know, it could be some massive cyber attack. It could be an electromagnetic pulse, for all we know. They're going to detonate a high-altitude nuclear weapon. And I think they'll be able to justify it because, let's get real, they can act with impunity and nobody gives a shit. At the end of the day, people can go and protest in the streets and it's all for naught, because whatever they want, they get. Now, this is a multi-layered air defense graph, so you can see that most of Iran's air defense systems are centered around their nuclear facilities, even less so than their capital, Tehran. So that's how much they care about their nuclear facilities. So, of course, as these concentric circles increase, I presume that that means it's a more capable system. Of course, they have the S-300. That's one of their main systems, defending their coastal regions with their oil and gas infrastructure, as well as their nuclear power plants. Understand, right now, there is no preconditions for peace talks from either side. That is much different from the veneer that's created in the Ukraine versus Russia conflict. Because even if you think that Zelensky's peace plan is outlandish and would never be accepted, at least he has a peace plan, okay? Netanyahu and Iran, well, maybe Iran less so, has not offered up a peace plan. So there is, essentially, this thing is destined to get out of control, because we've seen, even in the case of Russia and Ukraine, where there is a potential peace negotiations, even as out of touch with reality as they may be, at least there's that as a starting point. You don't even have that with Israel. What do they say? We need to topple the Iranian regime. So they're going to attempt to do something asymmetrical, I would presume, because quite frankly, in the past year, since October 7th, they have done, 4,000 bombing raids on Gaza. I think it's 40,000, actually. Is it 4,000 or 40,000? One of those outrageous numbers. That is in an airway, in an area that they totally control, every nook and cranny, okay? And they can just take their planes off, and 5 kilometers later, they're right over this territory. There's no air defense, nothing. Now they're going to have to fly through these multi layers of air defense. They're going to have to refuel their planes. They're going to have to not get shot down when they're on the way back, because Iran does have some air capabilities that they would use for defense, like their F-14s, possibly Su-35s, and of course their surface-to-air missiles. Geez, I'm really losing my voice. These kids brought home a nasty one, but I'm trying to get through this, my friends. So this means that they're going to have a really hard time unless they can pull some rabbit out of the hat like they did with the pager strike, which I would not put it past them that they don't have a similar technology in the hands of Iranian officials at this point in time. And judging by the incompetence of the upper echelons of Hezbollah, if they're the ones who are being instructed by the IRGC, then you never know. So right now, just to tie things together, this is actually a really detailed map. If you want to know where potential targets are going to be, this is Ian Ellis Jones X, IEJmedia.com. All credit to them. They've put together this excellent infographic that gives you detailed information about the nuclear facilities, oil and gas facilities, as well as the military bases, the missile bases, radar facilities. And this, you know, it's very likely that if there is attack, it's going to target one of these places. Now, according to the New York Times, the attack is imminent. According to the Wall Street Journal, the attack is imminent. Now, Israel tends to not telegraph their attacks. So over the weekend, when everybody was expecting Israel to attack, I think I floated my most recent video that this could have been done to induce readiness fatigue. The same thing that the Iranians did to the Israelis. They made them wait 2 months. In fact, Israel is so preoccupied right now in southern Lebanon, some people are saying that they're getting ready to do an amphibious landing there, that they may just postpone this for a while now. And now with CENTCOM about to be wiped out, I don't even know if this plan is going to see the light of day for months. So it's quite possible that this could get postponed unless Netanyahu starts slipping in the polls and losing the favor of his constituents. Then he may well do something provocative. But at least now they have the justification to go to war with Iran whenever they want. But the idea that they're going to be able to split themselves between what's going on in Lebanon and Iran, those two things don't really make sense. So it could just be that they are trying to keep Iran on the back foot with this psychological operation. Oh, we're going to attack in the next day or so. And you'll notice that it's all Western media who's saying this. So as far as we know, yes, the Iranians are on a high state of alert. They are on one of the highest states of alert, in fact. They have their missile defense being rolled out all throughout the country. And they're ready for an attack. I mean, they probably have been since October 7th, but in a much higher state now. And now that there's been this rallying cry by the Ayatollah, they're about to sign a defensive pact between Iran, Syria, Yemen, Iraq, Hezbollah, Hamas, and other various factions. They're going to draft a bill to create a military alliance. Now, you'd think that this would be something you would do beforehand. So what this is going to mean, it's going to be like an Article 5 for the Axis of Resistance. So what that's going to mean is that when one side gets attacked, it's going to obligate Iran to come to the rescue. And that's when you really do have a full-scale regional war. And if they're as judicious and jurisprudent as the Russians, then maybe this is the box they have to check before they go through with this. But this war is inevitable because, like I said, interestingly, there are no preconditions right now. There are no peace terms, nothing. It's just both sides want to destroy each other. So it's just a matter of time. The clock's ticking. Iran's going to get nukes, or Israel's going to stop them from getting nukes. Once Iran gets nukes, and no, I can confirm with 100% certainty that the earthquake that took place in Iran the other day was not a nuke. Okay, it's confirmed by experts in the field In fact, Stephen Harris, the guy who wrote the book Nuclear War, the adjunct author of Nuclear War Survival Skills, texted me today and he said, yeah, you're right, this was not a nuclear test. So they haven't done a nuclear test yet. If and when Iran comes out, it's not going to be a test, because they're going to have to come out and they're going to have to say, look, we have 10 nukes at least. They need 10 nukes. We have the delivery platform. And when they do a test, it has to be successful. Because if it isn't, that is going to be, it's going to be a blitzkrieg offensive by Israel and the United States to try to take out the leadership and just cause chaos throughout Iran. And they're not going to stop. And so Israel right now needs to deal with Lebanon, which they're really only in the nascent phase of that conflict. They're just getting ready to do a amphibious assault in the southern coastline, something that might be not be happening for a couple weeks now that CENTCOM is going under, because of course they need the WASP amphibious readiness group that's in that region in order to help facilitate all this. They're relying on U.S. intelligence, U.S. missile defense, and probably the U.S. military is deeply embedded in the actual land invasion campaign. There's also numerous countries who said that they're going to partake in the assault on Israel. Now, get a load of this. This is the Russians putting their mobile nuclear platforms on combat duty. Okay? Are you following me? This is not normal. They just changed their nuclear doctrine. They pulled the U.S. ambassador. Now, they're saying that they're going to appoint a new ambassador, but they haven't done that yet. Usually, you don't just leave this limbo period where you don't have any representation, unless they're just saying this to kind of manage public panic, because as of right now, they are putting their YARS systems, their mobile nuclear ICBM platforms, on combat duty. That means they're rolling around. Remember, there's no more nuclear treaties. There's no more obligation for them to tell the United States where these things are. And quite frankly, even if the United States, even if they told the United States where they were, it's going to take 30 minutes or at least 15 minutes for the U.S. to try to take these things out with a nuke. Now, some people say the U.S. will actually use conventional weaponry against these things, and that's a possibility. We're going to be doing a video on that soon. So even if they're moving, they're tracked via, you know, technology that we have, satellites. Nonetheless, this is very concerning. This is a massive escalation. Again, they're just doing it piecemeal. It makes you wonder, if everything is quiet, if the Russians are winning, why introduce the nuclear doctrine? Why put all of your mobile platforms on combat duty? Why pull your ambassador? Things are not going good on the Russian front. Remember when the Russian ambassador told all the Israelis to come back to Russia? Guys, shit is going down. I told you months ago that Iran was going to respond. And everybody's like, well, I guess it's a big nothing burger. Nothing ever happens. 2 months later, the mother of all missile salvos. Okay, so the same thing is going to happen. We know this war is coming. It's coming. Like, it's 100% guaranteed. Maybe if there was some, you know, conditions for talks. But even where you have that between Russia and the Ukraine, you're not getting any progress. So what makes us think we're going to have any progress if there is no conditions whatsoever for peace? So it's just a crazy situation. And it's incredible how these two events are dovetailing. So this is people who are evacuating. If you're sticking around this place and you've seen what the government response to Hurricane Helene is, and you're not a prepper who's prepared to ride it out, and you don't have some higher, more prominent part of the topography where you can hopefully escape the worst of the flooding, then you're likely going to be waiting 6 weeks for a government airlift out of there. Let's be brutally honest. This is a place with a metro population of 3 million, very inaccessible, what is it called? Is this the Everglades? I don't know much about Florida. But you can see, like, the topography, there's all these, it's basically at sea level, so there's few corridors that transit one part of the peninsula to the other. So it's going to be a cluster, you know what? And a lot of people are going to get stranded, man. I mean, this whole place could literally be underwater. Tampa could be destroyed. And that is going to have massive implications for the U.S. to conduct their operations. Wow, how these disasters are coming together. It's like it's out of a movie or something, man. Incredible.
The time to leave is now. This is the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. Mandatory evacuations have been ordered for your area. Please leave now.
Well, it's getting real.
So this guy is having a good laugh. I hope he's a prepper, and I hope he's ready to ride out 4, 6, maybe 8 weeks. Who knows? I thank God you guys don't have winter down there. But, I mean, this could alter the landscape of the coastline. It probably will. So it's no laughing matter. I've never had to live through a hurricane. That's why I live in the equivalent of the Midwest up here in the prairies, high above sea level, where nothing happens. So yeah, up to 15-foot storm surge. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. People are preparing, getting some rice. Looks like the stores are pretty full. Some plywood, some steel shutters, some 2x4s. Gasoline. I think it's a little too late. Look, I get the weather's nice. I get that, you know, it's just a beautiful place to live, but you know that this shit's going to happen there. I mean, if there's ever a place to be a practical prepper, it's Florida, of all places. Come on. What else do we have to talk about? So I talked about Iran and Israel both issuing threats. Now, this is what's really interesting. Amos Yadin, the former head of Israel's IDF military intelligence and one of the pilots who took out Iraq's Osirek nuclear reactor in June 1981, has told CNN Today that the attack on Iran will be something that has never been seen in the Middle East. What the hell could they possibly mean by that? We've seen a cyber attack. So I guess we can rule that out if what they're saying is true. For all we know, this could just be deterrent bluster. This could just be them conducting a psychological operation on the Iranians to get them looking over their shoulder and perhaps not keeping their eyes on the skies. Something that has never been seen in the Middle East. I mean, are we talking about some sort of new drone technology? Are we talking about laser tech? Are we talking about an electromagnetic pulse, high altitude nuke? Who knows? I'm going to have to go and look at Chariots of Fire exercise, because that's the exercise where they actually simulated the attack, and that only took place 2 years ago, which tells you that this was their plan all along. And now that Iran is on the edge of being a nuclear threshold state and teasing this idea of getting nuclear weapons, it's a matter of time. And now you have the election coming. So if their plan, Netanyahu's plan, was to start a war before the election, now there might be major setbacks. It depends on how much this facility of US CENTCOM is actually integral to the operations in the Middle East. I would presume it's very important. Probably not a good, you know, when you know that hurricanes pass through this region every year, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense. Deputy Speaker of the Iranian Parliament said in the next possible attacks by Iran, a new type of defense technology will be unveiled. So who knows what they mean? They're saying defense technology, which could really be twisted to mean offense technology, right? London is saying that they're going to partake. They're considering the possibility of limited participation in a massive strike in Iran. And I would say that once the dominoes start falling, once the Israelis start attacking, it's going to be unrelenting. It's going to be just like what we're seeing in Lebanon. They're not going to stop. It didn't end with the pager. It didn't end with the decapitation strike. They moved it into a ground operation. They started bombing deeper and deeper into the country. It's going to be a blitzkrieg, a modern-day blitzkrieg. And so this means that the Iranians are going to be in a position where they either lose it, use it, or lose it. Like, I'm losing it because of this head cold and this chest cold, but trying to keep it together here. So, yeah, it's in a situation like this, if you're the Iranians, there's something that Vladimir Putin is known for saying, and that's that if there's going to be a fight, he says 50 years ago, Leningrad Street taught me one rule. If a fight is inevitable, you need to strike first. And the Iranians must be thinking this. Are we just going to be sitting ducks for whatever sort of plans that the Israelis are getting ready to hatch? Or are we going to preempt this strike by maybe taking out all of their air bases, taking out all of the U.S. military bases in the region, taking out all the Gulf states' infrastructure and military infrastastructure? Just preempt it, set them back at least. Of course, the Israelis and the U.S. would inevitably rebuild and come back to attack you, but perhaps that would buy them time to become a nuclear state, because if they can get to the nuclear state, at least their own sovereignty is less at risk, so long as they can avoid a civil war from starting. They can still engage in a proxy war, because, of course, we're currently engaged in a more than proxy war with the biggest nuclear power on Earth, and that's not stopping us. So the idea that just that Iran gets nuclear weapons and we're going to not mess with them anymore is ludicrous. We still will. In fact, probably more so, because 10 nukes is only 10 nukes, right? Yes, it's enough to destroy Israel, but it's also a way for them to usher in a lot of other bad shit as well that I'll probably do another dedicated video on, because right now I'm losing my voice. Putin is about to meet with Pezeshkian, that's the new Iranian president. He's going to meet them on Friday. So I'm presuming that if anything big goes down, you never know with the Israelis, maybe it's going to go down that day. Maybe it's going to happen right now at the time of making this video. Let me just check to see if there's anything new in the news. I don't think there is. I think everybody's quite fixated on the hurricane and this election bullshit. Nothing new there yet. According to the U.S., they've reportedly cautioned Israel that a strike on Iran's nuclear facilities could lead to Iran withdrawing from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. But if that's true, if the Israelis can set them back another 10 years, then I'm guessing that they're going to seize on that opportunity. The question is, are they going to be able to get through Iran's multi-layered air defense with the limited amount of planes they have? As I indicated, this Russian putting launchers on standby thing is incredibly concerning, okay? They've sent Yars nuclear missile launchers on patrol routes as part of military exercises, signaling a commitment to its nuclear deterrence strategy, which, of course, has recently been revived. The move is seen as a way to enhance the survivability of these mobile launchers against potential preemptive strikes. So, I mean, we're there. We're literally right before the missiles launch. These are live nuclear weapons, people. Prepare now. Prepare now. I know people are getting preparedness fatigue, but when the shit hits the fan, you'll be saying to yourself, man, I should have prepared 3, 4, 10 times as much. These systems have a 16,000 kilometer capability and designed to carry multiple independent warheads. So there's going to be redundancy there. And impossible to shoot these things down. Impossible. maybe you're going to get lucky with a system like the Israeli Aero system and shoot down one or two out of 100. But even that, I think the U.S. has something like 50 interceptors to take out Russia's 1,000 nukes. Not saying that they're not going to get destroyed, but and if you think that things are cooling down on the Russian front, this is Crimea. This is an oil refinery in Crimea. So Ukrainian drone strikes continue to batter Russia's oil industry. What else do we got going on here? Oh, this is kind of pathetic. You got the usual suspects. Why is it always these two? Blumenthal, Lindsey Graham, with their nose burrowed deep into Netanyahu's ass. The most obsequious display of groveling that I've ever seen. Like, just the, you could tell by the body language here. Like, this guy is supposed to be the one giving this guy money. But it's like, this guy is the boss of this guy. What the hell's going on, man? Oh, and I'm going to give a shout out to CP Jr., who won gold in this weekend's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournament. Dad's super proud of you, buddy. So keep up the good work. Perseverance is everything. And you know what was really awesome? When he won, he was not overly proud. He was like, you know, the guy, I think, was having a bit of a bad day and he was kind of downplaying it. Very humble. And I was like, you know what, man? That's the mindset of a winner, is to never let it go to your head and to always be hungry for more. Always be hungry for more. Never going to stop till we're chilling at the top. That's our motto. Brace yourselves. It's going to be an interesting week. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. And if you want to support the channel, CanadianPreparedness.com, coupon code, limited coupon code. We're running out of inventory. WW3 Survival for 13% off everything. Get it now. If you're ordering sandbags now to get to Florida, they ain't going to get there in time. You should have did that a long time ago, but it's never too late to stock up on sandbags and the thousands of other products that we warehouse. Stay safe, everybody. And if you're in Tampa and you don't have a preparedness plan for 4 to 6 weeks, you need to get the hell out of Dodge some way, somehow.